Tonight we're going to be talking about the need for the Christ. The need for the Christ. We're in the Easter month celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave. We're celebrating this April 21st. But tonight we're going to talk about the need for the Christ, the Anointed One. And I want to go back to the account of the creation of man and do a brief historical overview tonight. A little bit of history. So God created man at the beginning of time. In Genesis, we find this. And it says in Genesis 2:15, the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work the land and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat of it, you will surely die." So he created man. He puts him in this beautiful, perfect Garden of Eden. He gives him a command. He says, "You can eat of any tree, but the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil, I do not want you eating of. For in the day that you eat of it, you will die." Then God creates Eve, the woman. We jump over to Genesis chapter 3, and the serpent comes along, the devil, to tempt the woman. Now the serpent was more crafty, this is Genesis 3:1, than any of the wild animals of the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say, 'You must not eat from any tree in the garden?'" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, 'You must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die.'" "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. He's just sowing seeds of doubt in her mind, right? "For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. So she fell to the temptation of the serpent, right? "She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized that they were naked, and so they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden." So the serpent tempted the woman. She ate of the fruit, right? The forbidden fruit. She gave some to her husband. And then it says in verse 8 of Genesis 3 that they hid from God. Why did they hide from God? Because they had sins. See, the word most commonly translated simply as sin in the Hebrew language is chata. It means to miss the goal or path of right and duty. And the imagery is this. It's like an archer with his bow and arrow. This is what sin is like. It's an archer with his bow and arrow. He pulls that arrow back, right? And he's aiming for a target. And when he lets the arrow go, the arrow misses the target. And that's what sin is. Sin is missing the mark. It's straying from God's path of righteousness. And so God gave Adam that command, right? In Genesis chapter 2, not to eat of a certain tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and of evil. And they disobeyed God's command. The woman ate, Eve, and then Adam ate of the forbidden fruit. They strayed from the path of obedience to God. They had sinned. And that sin nature was passed down, has been passed down from Adam and Eve to generation after generation after generation. We all know that, right? So God instituted, again, this is a brief overview. God instituted a system of animal sacrifices and the shedding of their blood for the atonement of sin in the Old Testament. You can read about this in detail in Leviticus. He instituted a system of animal sacrifices and the shedding of their blood in the Old Testament. But, here's the thing. The blood of animals just cleansed the person from ceremonial defilement. The shed blood of animals just made the person outwardly clean. You can find this in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 13. You know, animal sacrifices were repeatedly offered as an indicator that they could not remove the guilt of sin from the conscience. Hebrews 10, verse 2. Animal sacrifices could not restore fellowship between a holy God and a sinful humanity. Animal sacrifices and their shed blood could not break the power and the mastery that sin would want over humankind. Animal sacrifices were imperfect. Animals are imperfect. The blood they shed is imperfect blood. So it was so necessary that the Christ, the Anointed One, a lamb without blemish or defect, shed His precious blood. See, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of the Lamb of God, in contrast to the blood of animals, cleanses the soul. It purifies the human soul. It makes it pure. It renews it. It makes it a born-again spirit. Animal sacrifices and their blood could not do that. The blood of Jesus Christ, shed over 2,000 years ago on Calvary's Hill, in contrast to animal blood, was offered once and for all people of all generations. And it has the power to remove the guilt of sin. The blood of animals could not remove the guilt associated with sin. The blood of Jesus Christ, the spotless Lamb of God, who shed His perfect blood, and by faith in Him reconciles sinful humanity to a holy God. You can read about this in Romans 5, verse 1. The blood of animals could not do this. There was only one that could satisfy the wrath of God against sin, and that was God the Son, Jesus Christ Himself, who died over 2,000 years ago for you and for me, so that we would not have to die in hell. Only Jesus Christ, His shed blood, our faith in Him, could reconcile sinful humanity to a holy God, could bring fellowship back between sinful humanity and an absolutely holy God, to restore the fellowship that God had with Adam and Eve in the garden. Remember, it says in Genesis 3 that God walked about the garden in the cool of the day. The Garden of Eden represented the presence of God. It represented that Adam and Eve had fellowship with God. And at the end of Genesis chapter 3, you could see that they were banished from the garden. They were separated from fellowship with God because of their sin, because they ate the forbidden fruit. But Jesus Christ, over 2,000 years ago, the perfect and the spotless Lamb of God, shed His blood so that we again could have fellowship with an almighty and holy God. Amen? Good news here tonight? The shed blood of Jesus, by faith in Him, breaks the power of sin over a person's life. The imperfect blood shed by imperfect animals had no power to break the mastery and the tyranny of sin over the life of people. The blood shed by animals in the Old Testament had no power to break the tyranny and the mastery that sin would want over humankind. And so tonight we're going to turn to Luke chapter 4. So I'm going to concentrate on Jesus Christ and the sacrifice and the shed blood, our faith in Him, to break the power and the mastery that sin would want over your life. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4. Verse 16. He went to Nazareth. Jesus went to Nazareth where He had been brought up, and on the Sabbath day He went into the synagogue as was His custom. And He stood up to read. The scroll of the prophet Isaiah was handed to Him. Unrolling it, He found the place where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is on Me, because He has anointed Me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent Me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight for the blind, to release the oppressed, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Then He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. I want to concentrate tonight on the last half of verse 18 in Luke chapter 4. Jesus said that He was anointed by the Spirit of God for what? He was anointed to proclaim freedom for prisoners, those imprisoned by sin's shackles and power. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God to bring recovery of sight to the blind, to bring spiritual sight to those who are blinded by sin and its lusts. Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God to release those oppressed by sin's tyranny. And Jesus here tonight is able to break the shackles of sin off of your life. He's able to break the mastery and the tyranny that sin would want to have over your life tonight. Remember, in the Old Testament, animal sacrifices and the blood of animals could not break the power and the tyranny of sin over a person's life. It's only the perfect blood of the spotless Lamb of God shed over 2,000 years ago and our faith in Him that can break the shackles of sin and the bondage of sin over your life. Is that good news here tonight? So my question to you tonight is this: what sin is trying to control your life? What sin is trying to have mastery over your life tonight? Is it stealing? Taking something that is not rightfully yours? Is it looking at the unclean? Is it lying? Is it deceiving others? Is it pride in your life? What sin is trying to control your life today? Here's the good news. When Jesus Christ rules on the throne of the heart, when a person has a true conversion experience with Jesus Christ, when somebody has truly met Jesus, then the continual desire and lust to commit that sin is broken over a life. When Jesus rules on the throne of someone's heart, when a person has truly met Jesus, when they've had a true conversion experience with Jesus Christ, then the continual desire and lust to continue in that sin is broken off of a person's life. So my question to you tonight is this: have you truly met Jesus? He loves you so much. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Maybe you've never met Jesus. Maybe you've never given your life to Jesus. Maybe you've never put your faith in Jesus. Tonight you'll have the opportunity to do that. Maybe you met Jesus at some point. Maybe you put your faith in Jesus at one point in the past. Maybe a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago. But maybe you got upset with God. Maybe you got upset with somebody and you've slipped away from Jesus. And you have this desire on the inside to continue in that sin. Only you and God really know what that is. I want to talk about a case in point of a person in the Scripture who truly met Jesus, the spotless Lamb of God who shed His perfect blood. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. Awesome account of a person who met Jesus. Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Verse 3 of Luke 19. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed the sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. He had a desire to see and to know Jesus Christ, the perfect Lamb of God. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he gladly came at once and welcomed him gladly. He met Jesus. How many would agree? All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save that which was lost." Zacchaeus. What did he say to Jesus in verse 8? What did he say to Jesus? He said, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and whatever I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. Wherever I have cheated anybody of anything, I'll pay back four times the amount. What was Zacchaeus saying to Jesus? He was confessing that he had defrauded people of money. And this comes from the Old Testament. Old Testament, Exodus 22, verse 1. That if you stole a lamb and you sold it, you had to replace it with four lambs. So Zacchaeus was confessing to Jesus what? That he was living, he had lived a life of sin. Right? That he had lived a life of sin before he met Jesus. That he had cheated people. He had defrauded people of their money. He had deceived people. But then, this Zacchaeus did what? He met Jesus, God the Son. He had a true conversion experience to Jesus Christ, and the power of sin was broken over his life. Because what did he say to Jesus? He said, Jesus, I will give what? Half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. He had an interest in seeing Jesus. That's why he climbed the tree. He saw Jesus. Then he had fellowship with Jesus in his house. He had met Jesus. He had a true conversion experience with Jesus. And when he met Jesus, the power of sin, the mastery of sin, was broken over his life. Is that good news here tonight? And tonight, you might find yourself in a position similar to Zacchaeus. Maybe in a sin, continually desiring to be in that sin. But tonight you'll have an opportunity to meet Jesus, to put your faith and your trust in Jesus and make him the Lord of your life. What did Jesus say to Zacchaeus? He said, today salvation has come to this house. Why did Jesus say today salvation has come to this house? Why did he say that? Because he changed. He confessed his sin and he said, Jesus, I'm leaving this life of sin of defrauding people of their money. The power of sin was broken over Zacchaeus' life. And Jesus said, hence, salvation has come to this house. Are you perhaps in a position like Zacchaeus was over 2,000 years ago, dealing with some sort of stronghold in your life, some sort of sin? I don't know what it is. Only you and God knows what that is. Only you know what that is. Only God knows the sin, the stronghold you're struggling with tonight. And tonight you'll have the opportunity to meet Jesus, to have a true conversion experience to Jesus, because when you do, the power and the mastery of that sin will be broken over your life. That continual lust and desire for that sin will be broken over your life when you say, Jesus, be the Lord, the one in full control over every part of my life. And even after you meet Jesus, even after you put faith in Jesus, there may be times where you occasionally slip back into that sin. And if you do, just confess it to God. Say, God, I've sinned. He is faithful and just and will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Is that good news here tonight? Have you truly met Jesus? Have you made Jesus the Lord, the supreme in authority over every part of your life? When you truly meet Jesus, and you truly put your faith and your trust in him, and you have a real and true conversion experience with God the Son, Jesus Christ, the mastery that sin tries to have over your life will be broken. Could you say amen here tonight? Amen. But you've got to decide on the inside, Jesus, you're my Savior. Jesus, I put my trust in you. Jesus, I want to meet you. But Jesus, I also want you to be the Lord, the controller, the big boss over every part of my being. How is sin's power broken over your life? How is sin's power in tyranny and mastery broken over your life? As I said just a few moments ago, truly turning your heart over to Christ, giving Him lordship over every part of you. That's how sin's power is broken over your life. It comes from repentance. What is repentance? Zacchaeus was repentant. It means changing your mind from going your way to going God's way. That's how sin's mastery and power is broken over your life. Being truly repentant, saying, God, I'm sorry. Jesus, I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. God, give me the strength to make your Son, Jesus Christ, Lord over every part of my life. You got to cry out to God in prayer. If you cry out to God in prayer saying, God, I can't do this on my own, God will give you His divine empowerment and grace to make His Son, Jesus Christ, Lord over every part of you. And you've got to be getting into the Word of God. Because how do you renew your mind? You renew your mind by getting into the Word of God. You see, the books that you read influence the way that you think. If you're reading bad news all the time, you're in the media all the time, on the internet reading bad news, it's going to influence the way you think. It'll make you fearful and worried. Why not be influenced by the greatest book in the world, the Word of God, the Bible? Be in it on a consistent basis. Not just at Easter, not just at Christmas, on a consistent daily basis. And let the Word of God wash your mind and your spirit. Amen? Amen? Allow it to make Jesus Christ Lord over every part of your existence. Amen?